Radio.
You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Tim Link. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. We've got a great show again today. My guest today is best-selling author Linda Frances Lee. And Linda will be talking to us today about her recently released book, Emily and Einstein, which is a novel about getting second chances, the strength of the human spirit, and the danger of taking life for granted. So it's a great book, and we'll have Linda on in just a moment to talk a little bit more about Emily and Einstein. But first, I'd like to talk to you about a little tip for you that I think would be helpful. It's about reducing furniture scratching. This would be mostly for cats, obviously, but reducing furniture scratching. I get calls all the time about cats, you know, who have plenty of scratching posts, but tend to want to scratch on the furniture, and we look for ways to help out. And I found a wonderful little article in by the Pet Place Veterinarians about reducing furniture scratching. You know, now furniture scratching is frustrating behavior, and it's unwelcome by most cat owners, but I believe it's every cat owner, unless you've got some really old furniture you don't care about. But we want to reduce that as much as possible or eliminate it. But, you know, in the cat's mind, he or she is simply marking their territory and sharpening their claws at the same time. But for you, it's destroying your expensive piece of furniture, and it leads for a lot of destruction as well as a lot of annoyance between you and your kitty cat. So we want to try to eliminate that as much as possible. There are a couple of ways to diminish this behavior. The easiest, though it's painful, and something I definitely don't recommend, is declawing the cat. Declawing the cat is a painful procedure for the cat. It causes a lot of behavioral problems and physical problems for them in the long run. A lot of lack of litter box using by cats that have been declawed. So we want to avoid that if we can. But the more humane method modifying this behavior is have as many deterrents as you possibly can. Periodically trim their nails and train your cat to use the scratching post. So I always recommend people have multiple types and multiple sizes and multiple material of scratching posts, especially in areas that the cat likes to scratch. There's some wonderful scratching posts that are made of cardboard, and they've got catnip in them. You can hang them on doorways or on the back of furniture or on posts, lay them down flat, lay them down in an angle. There's a lot of different ways you do it, and of course, then once the cat has destroyed that particular one, you just throw it away or recycle it and get another one. So there's some wonderful disposable ones out there as well, so you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on these. Just make sure you have plenty of them around, especially in areas where the cat likes to mark their area and mark their territory. So there are plenty of things to do other than declawing the cat. To find out more about this information about reducing furniture scratching by cats, please visit my website and read the blog. It's the Animal Rights blog on Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. And you can click on the link that's provided in the Animal Rights blog and maybe find some ways of reducing furniture scratching by cats or eliminating it altogether. So that's your helpful tip of the week. Good luck to everyone. And obviously, you can call me if that doesn't work, and we'll find out what's going on in that kitty cat's mind. We're going to take a commercial break here, but we're going to come right back with Linda Frances Lee right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Buster, you're telling me my dog food products can't go on your shelves?
That's right. Didn't pass one of my Petco certified nutrition checklists. Sorry, Wayne.
Who made these checklists?
Geniuses. Very smart guys.
Well, it's good enough for most grocery stores.
Do you see cheese puffs on my shelves? Mayonnaise? Soda pop?
No.
That's because I ain't running no grocery store, Wayne. Your pets will get better nutrition, I guarantee it. Petco, where healthy pets go.
Enter the code LUCKY10. LUCKY, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
I play tennis because I love to. But inside, I want to win. Take away the court, the net. I might not be a player, but I'll always be a competitor. Lady Foot Locker understands that.
Lady Foot Locker, the first to carry Adidas off-court shoes and the gear that goes with them.
If you play your best, there's no regret.
Lady Foot Locker, one place, every woman.
go to LadyFootLocker.com and enter the code AFANW1LF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2LF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at LadyFootLocker.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me today is best-selling multi-book author Linda Frances Lee. And Linda has her recently released book, Emily and Einstein, a novel of second chances. And I love the cover. Get a park bench, a little puppy dog on there, and a pair of shoes, which threw me off until I read about the book. But Linda, thanks for coming on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm so glad you love the cover. And I also, when I was listening to you, the tip, it was amazing to think about the one of the dogs, my dog that we used to have, Sophie, when she was a puppy. One of our things that she did was she was teething on the feet of a ball and claw table, leaving all sorts of scratches. And Sophie was part of the inspiration for this book. So I thought, if only I had known.
There you go. Here you go. And, you know, same thing with the dogs. They have a tendency, especially when they're pups, to destroy some furniture. Yes.
Definitely teething on those toes.
That's right. So we got to keep those strategically placed dog bones and chew toys and Kong bones, everything you possibly can to keep them entertained and have a nice mixture in there. But unfortunately, as you know, we tend to learn these lessons after the furniture has their war wounds.
Well, and that it's very true. Those the ball and claw table always had those little teeth marks, and we always actually got sort of that it was cute, but it was so funny thinking, oh my gosh, teething on the toes of the table.
Exactly. Yeah, we used to, with our boys, Buzz and Woody, our schnauzers, we had the little Kong ball with the little Kong treats in them, and they love rolling them around and getting the treats out. But one day I wasn't keeping too close of an eye on them, and one of the little treats went behind the coffee table, and they started scratching and clawing it to get to this little tiny wedge of a Kong treat. Yeah, it's needless to say, my coffee table now is strategically placed in a different area, and the markings are on the back side.
Oh, yes.
So, Linda, tell us, first of all, a little bit about the book. Now, I want to say to everyone out there that this is your 20th book. So, congratulations on that. That's an amazing feat to have that many books out there. But tell us a little bit more about Emily and Einstein.
Well, as you said, it's a book, a novel of second chances. And I wanted to write a book about a man who needed to have a second chance at redeeming himself, but I wanted him to redeem himself after he was already dead. And so he comes back and has to save his wife, the wife that he hurt when he was living, and he does it when he is already dead, and he then has to save her.
Okay, so the husband is not, as we know in the book, not the greatest of characters in the world.
He was a dog of a man.
He is a dog of a man. That's right. It's good to live a dog's life, but not that kind of a dog.
Yeah,
so he was a dog of a man, but he gets a second chance to come back, and he comes back as a dog into her life. Now what made you decide to write it in that angle to have him come back as a dog?
Well, sort of a little bit back to Sophie. When Sophie, for all the years that we had her, while she was living, she was she was with me every day. As you said, I've written quite a few books, and every day Sophie was with me, and she had such a huge personality, and every pet lover knows their dog, their cat, their pet has a distinct personality, and Sophie did, and she could be in a good mood, and she could be in a bad mood, and she could ignore me, she could do all sorts of things, which I'm sure was some sort of reflection on me, no doubt, but so I wanted to capture that, because my husband and I both just had missed her, we continue to miss her, and I wanted to find a way to bring her multi-personality to some kind of a story. And then there was that piece, and then I had this husband who was this dog of a man. And I didn't know how to make the story different. How will this story different from every other man, husband who's bad, you know, not great to his wife? So I'm walking through Central Park, and I stopped. I took some notes, and I went through one of the tunnels in Central Park, and I came out the other side, and there was Balto the dog, the statue of Balto. And I thought, oh my gosh, my dog of a man! I want to make him a dog. And that's how it happened.
And I think it's a great setup and a great story, because obviously we know our animals are pull at our heartstrings. They're our heart connection. They give us that unconditional love. So yeah. I think for the husband in this in the book to come back as the dog is a great setup.
Well, thank you. I really love this little dog, and then the idea that this dog that had wisdom beyond. Just so many dogs do, so many pets, we see the wisdom in their eyes. And I thought, who better to teach this man how to be a true man than this dog? And the fact that then Emily adopts him, and then she has to move on in her life, find a way to move on in her life, and of course her husband doesn't want her to move on. And that's part of his journey, is to learn how to be then a better man. He learns how to be a man as a dog.
There you go. So I always tell people that if you want to live a great life, live a dog's life. I think that's the key.
Yeah, that's a dog's life, yes. And this one in the Dakota apartment building right here on Central Park West. Talk about a wonderful place to live.
Not too bad if you can get the gig, right?
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
That's right. Now, the little dog in the story is Einstein, and the husband is Sandy. And I know at certain points throughout the story, Einstein's animal instincts kick in. So explain.
I loved writing.
Yeah, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
Explain just a little bit about why you decided to keep sort of the animal influence involved in Sandy, the husband, the late husband's transformation.
Well, I think that sort of as I was saying with Sophie, I feel like her moods, if you will, were a reflection of my moods in essence. And I think that you see humans with animals, and I feel like humans. In many ways, whatever they are putting out, they get back from their animal. Mm-hmm. And I think that the whole thing, you know, the idea of an animal can sense when you're afraid and all of these things. And I thought, if the person could just be calm, if they could find their own strength, that then they can find it frequently then through a dog or a cat. I'm not as sure, but it's the idea of through the person's pet that they learn so much. And I just wanted to really work with that bond, and I wanted to work with the whole idea of sort of a primal, going back to a primal state and just true reaction as opposed to having influences, trying to be somebody, trying to impress people. I wanted him to just be primal.
I think that's great. And your perception on that, I think, is spot on. When I talk to people and talk to clients about animals, you know, they are a reflection of us. They pick up on the visualization that we put out there and our energy that we put out there. So when we're in that positive frame of mind and things are going well, they tend to do well. And when we're not, they'll definitely let us know.
Well, and that, it seems to me that when you see a dog, I'm sure there are many instances where it is there are issues beyond this, but you see animals that will act up, and you can almost feel that really negative energy coming from the human. And I feel like it comes from the human in many cases first, and then the animal acts out.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on with that. I think you're absolutely right, because I tell people if there's been a behavioral change within the animal, it's either a physical or an emotional change that's happening. And the best thing to do is sort of take a step back, take a breath, and look within yourself and look within the family unit to see what's going on. And you're right. 9 times out of 10, it's usually something going on with the human companion or someone within the family.
Well, and I thought with Emily, who is so centered, and the idea that she, and through Einstein, would then have an influence on Sandy. And that's sort of the idea of the calmness of Emily, the calmness of this dog, the sort of superiority in terms of a really true, solid dog, that both of them together would then help Sandy.
Absolutely. I tell you what, we're going to take a little bit of break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Linda Frances Lee talking about Emily and Einstein right after these messages. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PetMeds. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PetMeds, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/Lucky, L-U-C-K-Y, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
Whether they're big, small, hairy, or whatever, you're going to need gear for your feet. And Kids Foot Locker's got all the great shoes and gear that'll get you in the game.
Go to kidsfootlocker.com and enter the code AFANW1KF to get 10% off any order of $50 or more. Or enter the code AFANW2KF to get 15% off any order of $75 or more at kidsfootlocker.com.
And cover those funky feet.
I don't make any decisions about who to hire without going to Angie's List first.
You'll find reviews on home repair to healthcare written by people just like you.
With Angie's List, I know who to call, and I know the results will be fantastic.
Angie's List, which you can trust.
Go to AngiesList.com/rights and get 25% off any subscription. That's AngiesList.com/rights, WRITES.
Hi, everybody. I'm Megan Blake here with my sidekick, Super Smiley, the giant mutt and spokes dog for throwaways. You're listening to Pet Life Radio, and I'd like to tell you about our brand new show, A Super Smiley Adventure. Our show explores adventures with animals. They can be traveling, out-in-the-world trips, or inner journeys where our animals lead us to inspiration and self-discovery, or just plain, fun adventures. Join us here on Pet Life Radio on A Super Smiley Adventure. Good boy.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. And we're here with Linda Frances Lee talking about her latest book, Emily and Einstein. Now, Linda, because one of the main themes to the story is second chances. What does getting a second chance mean to you or even the characters within the book?
Well, I think that many people believe that they are judged by the bumps they hit in the road, or they're judged by their mistakes. And I would like to believe, and I see it all the time, it's making it happen though, is the idea that we're judged by how we pick ourselves up and move forward from the bumps. And that was another thing that I wanted to explore with characters, the idea that we're not defined by our mistakes, and but we have to have the strength to pull ourselves back up and then find a way to move forward and make something great happen or even better happen than where we just were. And the idea of that the whole saying that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I think so many people they spiral down. They have something bad happen, and they get stuck in that, and they can't then take a deep breath, move forward, find whatever it takes to help them move forward so that they can be ultimately have a stronger life for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good point, and the fact that you know, you can really, any obstacles you run into, you can overcome them, and you should continue to try to pursue that. And don't get hung up on that past. Look to the present like a dog and live in that present moment and fulfill what you're meant to be doing here.
Well, no question. I think that it's easy to say when you're past the bump, or when you are not in a bump, when you aren't in one of those sort of spirals that are difficult. But I think that when you're in it, it's so much harder to pull yourself out. And frequently, it is that sort of love of a pet that can help you, to make you feel, as you were saying before, that unconditional love that makes things feel somehow brighter. You walk in and there's this pet that loves you unconditionally. And it's all, to me, all of these elements came together and spoke to that idea of who you are at a very base level, at a primal level. The idea of unconditional love, and the idea that through help and love we can pick ourselves up when things are bad and move forward. And it's those reminders and seeing it in different places that can help us then, if we are in our own place, if we can be inspired by something else to say, okay, even if it's a fictional character, it's the idea of I can pick myself up and move forward too.
Absolutely. Good message. Now, the wife in the book, Emily, there's a story in there about her running the marathon. When she runs through the park, you know, she really, it's sort of a metaphor where she stops running from the things in life that scare her. But tell us a little bit about that particular part of the story and what the marathon represents, maybe perhaps in the larger scope of Emily's life and the storyline in general.
Well, I think that, one, I'm a big runner, so I that was just sort of fun to be able to include that. But I do believe that part of that idea of moving forward in life is, whether it's a marathon or whether it's anything that you perceive as difficult, if you can commit yourself and you can do it and just piece by piece, step by step, move toward achieving some sort of a goal, it helps us believe that we can do anything. And as you said, you know, running, stop running away from life, believe that you can do something. And beyond that, the marathon was a metaphor for the idea of sometimes people want things to be easy. And quite frequently, anything worth doing isn't easy. It takes hard work, it takes perseverance, and it takes not giving up. So even if it isn't about, sometimes it's not about the bumps that you hit in the road, it's the idea of just, even if you're not hitting bumps, it's just hard. And to keep moving forward, to keep trying and persevering.
There you go. Another great lesson in the book. And that, as I always say, that life is a marathon. It's not a sprint, right?
Yes. Yes. And I, you know, and that is so true. And I think that, you know, I'm guilty of it as well. It's the idea that I want it now. And it's so easy to want it now. And the whole idea of life is to make sure that you keep on the path and you keep moving forward and realize that it's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
That's right. And it's hard to do sometimes, you know, especially in today's society. You know, we're the, as I say, the culture of the 10-minute oil change, and that's never quick enough for us either.
Yeah, I know. That is so true. And it's the idea, yes, you want it quickly. And the other thing I think about is the idea that if you can look at it in terms of a marathon and not needing to have instant gratification, it's the idea that how many times that if you do finish something, you do get to the end, you do succeed, if you don't have then another goal to reach for, then that sort of feeling of now what? And so it's having goals along the way, but then ultimately a larger goal at the end that you work for long term.
That's right. And make sure that path you're taking is the right and perfect one for you, so you don't get to the end of it and say, oh, was that it? That was all I was expecting? What's going on?
And you know what? And if you get to a place where you start thinking, is this the right path I should be on? It's then having the courage to say, okay, this wasn't the right path, and then be able to readjust or adjust and then move in a different direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you mentioned earlier the beautiful apartment building, the Dakota, which the story is based, you know, out of the Dakota, and it plays a large role in the story. Was there a particular reason other than the pure beauty of the Dakota that you chose that building?
Well, when the entire time I was writing the book, we lived next door to the Dakota. And every morning when I would go into Central Park to run, I walked past, they have these huge gates. And then a portico, and then inside through the gates and through the portico, then is the courtyard. And it's just, you know, built in the 1880s. It's original. It's just so, it has this moat around it. It's not water, but it's a moat. They call it the moat. And it was just this amazing building with so much history. And walking by it every single day, I would think, there's a story here. And because it's also this sort of magical building, when I actually went into the building, when I was inside, you really feel like you've come back in time. And I thought, oh, this would be the perfect setting for this book.
I think it is a great setting for the book. And it doesn't hurt living next door to it either.
I know.
Now, I know that we mentioned at the top of the interview, this is your 20th book. And I noticed that two of your novels are under development for feature films. And that you're also co-developing a television series based in your native state, Texas, your native home, which is my wife's native home as well.
Really? Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Are there any talks about Emily and Einstein developing that into a movie or into a story?
Definitely talks, not to the point yet where it's optioned, but definitely have been in talks. And I think that the idea of any sort of the idea of bringing a book to the, actually to the screen would just be amazing. And the idea of who would actually play the characters, and because when I write a book, I actually see it running like a movie in my head, and then I just try to capture the words to capture what I see in my head. So the idea of it coming to, you know, any of the books coming to a large screen would be amazing.
That's right. Well, some people may say a lot of people in Hollywood may be perfect to play a role of a dog. I don't know.
Well, and it's so funny because the idea that you have this character who then would be narrating, you know, it would just be the voice. So, you know, there are so many people, though, that I would just love to see do it. But we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does. I can see this definitely coming to the big screen. I can see a few characters playing these roles as well. It definitely pops out at me as well.
I definitely write it in a way that I see it. I visually see it when I'm writing it.
Now, the book Emily and Einstein, you know, tell us, if you had one important lesson that you'd like to leave to the readers, their takeaway from the book, what would that lesson be?
I think it would be the idea that we're not measured by our mistakes, that we are actually measured by how we pick ourselves up and move forward from the mistakes. And that was something that I remind myself of all the time. Every time I hit a bump, I think, okay, it's not the bump that matters, it's how I move forward from the bump.
That's right. How do you recover from that and keep moving forward?
Yes. What all the strength is all about.
I think it is. And I think life is full of its share of bumps, as well as more than its fair share of great accolades and times and things that you're doing. As long as you're following that path and overcoming and keep pushing forward, then you're doing everything you can.
Yes, absolutely.
So tell the listeners a little bit about where they can find out more about you, the book, and all the wonderful things you have going on.
Well, I'm at www.lindafrancislee.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter and any of the bookstores. And you can see what's going on with the books in terms of movies, any of the books, and also read interviews in terms of a little interview where actually Einstein is talking. So there's all sorts of things to find out on the website.
Yeah, and you've got the video love letters to New York City as well on there.
That's right. I love those. The Linda Frances Lee in NYC. And I love making those. In fact, they were a lot of fun. Just the places in New York that most people don't see or don't know about. And tried to do little love letters, as you said, to New York.
Exactly. You know, we had my book, Wagging Tales, came out going on 2 years ago now. And we had an opportunity to come to New York City and do some book signings and some speaking events and work with some rescues and get on some television shows. And of course, being someone from Atlanta, you go to New York City, you want a nice New York City slice of pie. You know, you want your slice of pizza. And we asked the locals where to go, and it took us several places to find a great one. We ended up at Hot and Crusty, if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
Group. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm sorry.
There's one by me.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic because they got not only your pizza, but they got your pasta and everything else that goes along with it. So, big kudos, big plug. Maybe they're listening. Send me some pizza, please.
I know. Well, I'll tell you, there's so many pizza places, and finding good pizza, though, is another something else altogether.
That's right. So you can cover that and many other things in your video letters to NYC there.
Oh, yeah. What a great one. Great idea. Go. Pizza in New York.
Pizza in New York. That's what we're thinking of. Well, Linda, would like to thank you for coming on the show today. Everybody go pick up a copy of Emily and Einstein, a novel of second chances by Linda Frances Lee. It's a great story, great setup, and if it has a dog in it, it's got to be good too, right?
I know that I love to have any kind of pet in a book. I'm there.
That's right. It's sure winter if it's in there. So, Linda, thanks for coming on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was great fun.
Thanks so much. So we're coming to the end of the show today. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I'd also like to thank Linda Frances Lee for being on the show today and talking about her book, Emily and Einstein, a great book. Great book. Thanks to all of our sponsors and producers for making this show possible. We really appreciate it. To find out more about me, Tim Link, and the other guests and other interviews and future interviews I'll be having on, you can go to the Animal Rights tab on Pet Life Radio. That's PetLifeRadio.com. Click on Animal Rights, and while you're there, make sure you check out the blogs as well. And you can also check out all the other wonderful shows and hosts and all the great people we have on the Pet Life Radio network, PetLifeRadio.com. If you have any questions, comments, ideas for the show, you can email me. You can email me at tim@petliferadio.com. That's tim@petliferadio.com. And I'll do my very best to answer your questions. I'll entertain your comments. I'll get the people on the show that you want to hear from the most. So email me at tim@petliferadio.com. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life. Share it in a blog, article, or in a book. And who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.